Amen. Can we put there's a slide, one slide up. My title tonight is The Silver Lining on Every Cloud. And I'll tell you what that is in a moment. It should work in a moment. There we go. This is one cloud. And I've got a picture of a shipwreck that looks like that, because that's something to look at. And it's just there's only one slide to look at while I preach tonight. I want to read from Acts 28. At a local church, before I do that, at a local church, there were lots of complaints about how shabby the pastor was dressed. There you go. Various people in the congregation decided to buy him a new suit as his birthday was approaching. When he saw the suit, he was so pleased that he told the church secretary to say thank you in the newsletter for all who clubbed together to buy him the new suit and to say that he'd be wearing it the following Sunday. He told her to post the newsletter to each church member in the week. He arrived Sunday and there was nobody there. Absolutely nobody in church. Amazed, he looked at the main headline of the newsletter, which said, "Pastor's very grateful for the kindness shown from the congregation as a way of saying thank you. This Sunday he will preach in his birthday suit." There we go. Acts 27. I've got 28, ignore it, it's 27. 39, and it goes on through 28, 10, that's it. Acts 27, 39. "Now when it was day, they did not recognize the land, but they noticed a bay with a beach on which they planned, if possible, to run the ship ashore. So they cast off the anchors and let them in the sea, at the same time loosening the ropes that tied the rudders. Then hoisting the foresail to the wind, they made for the beach. But striking a reef, they ran the vessel aground. The bow stuck and remained immovable, and the stern was being broken up by the surf. The soldiers' plan was to kill the prisoners, lest any should swim away and escape. But the centurion, wishing to save Paul, kept them from carrying out their plan. He ordered those who could not swim to jump overboard first and make for the land, and the rest on planks or on pieces of the ship. And so it was that they were brought safely to land. After we were brought safely through, we then learned that the island was called Malta. The native people showed us unusual kindness, for they killed a fire and welcomed us all because it had begun to rain and was cold. When Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and put them on the fire, a viper came out because of the heat and fastened onto his hand. When the native people saw the creature hanging from his hand, they said to one another, 'No doubt this man is a murderer, though he has escaped from the sea. Justice has not allowed him to live.' He, however, shook off the creature into the fire and suffered no harm." When a viper hits your life, we as Christians should be able to shake it off. You know, remember what form that viper comes. Verse 6, they were waiting for him to swell up, but suddenly fall down dead. But then they had waited a long time and saw no misfortune come to him. They changed their minds and said that he was a god. Now in the neighborhood of that place were lands belonging to the chief man of the island named Publius, who received us and entertained us in hospitality for 3 days. It happened that the father of Publius lay sick with fever and dysentery, and Paul visited him and prayed, and putting his hands on him, healed him. And when this had taken place, the rest of the people on the island who had diseases all came and were cured. They also honored us greatly, and when we were about to sail, they put on board whatever we needed. Lord, we thank you for Paul's example, that even though he had tremendous accusations over him, that he faced death, that everything was going wrong, that he was not able to get strength from you, but he was able to remarkably still be mentally focused on the gospel. I pray, Lord, that when we are faced with shipwrecks, vipers, and goodness knows what else, that we won't jump into the poor old me's as I do sometimes, but that we will continue to be proactive agents of the gospel moving in power. Because I know that that's your will for us. In Jesus' name, amen. So Paul called Saul of Tarsus. I mean, I was going to go into great length if there were more people here tonight who were probably new in the gospel, but most of you know who Paul was. Paul was one of many missionaries. He was actually considered an apostle because he was he'd actually seen Jesus at that time. So, I mean, one of the original 12 apostles. An apostle doesn't have to see Jesus, but what I'm saying is the original 12 apostles, he saw him. So that was the reason they called him in that, obviously, when obviously Judas went. But 13 apostles in a sense, because obviously they added him on to the other ones, didn't they? Because Matthias replaced the other guys. But so he was considered a very important first century person. And the reason he lived and faced each day was because Jesus was at the center of his life. And he demonstrates the mission of every single Christian in every age. In that, in spite of what you're going through, seek to make a difference where you are and to lead people to Christ. The silver lining on every cloud is this, that no matter what day it is, no matter what time it is, no matter what bills have come through the letterbox, no matter what your doctor says, no matter if your best friends have kicked you out, right from this point, again, you can start to be proactive for the gospel. And Jesus is there in your deepest, darkest valley with you. The Holy Spirit is there, shining through the prison bars, whatever your prison bars are. And even though when the viper hits you, I mean, the viper can be all kinds of things. And we'll look at that in a minute. But I love this description of the story. After 276 people on board the boat swam safely to shore. That's a lot of people. They're greeted by island natives. They discover that they landed on the Isle of Malta. The storm they endured for 2 weeks carried them exactly where they needed to go to get to Rome. Malta is a Mediterranean island lying 58 miles south of the island of Sicily and 180 miles north of Libya. It measures about 17 miles at its longest distance from southeast to northwest and about 9 miles at its widest distance from east to west. The island became part of the Roman Empire about 200 years before Christ. And see, the natives here light fires on the beach to warm the cold and wet visitors. Paul picks up a pile of sticks. When the bundle of wood is a poisonous snake in a cold-blooded stupor. Deuteronomy 31:8 says, "It is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed." And Paul, it's amazing what God gave to Ian tonight, talking about the next level, because I was going to mention that now, that seeing what God did with Paul here inspires them to go to the next level, inspires us to go to the next level, because it means that the problems you face will not stop you being proactive for the gospel. I visited a church this morning, just on a fact-finding mission, and just for a morning off, really, it's nice to be fed, but the pastor of that church, his wife died a year ago, and I thought to myself, if my wife ever died, I probably couldn't do this job, I wouldn't be... I'm all over the place. I'm hearing of people who their spouses have died and yet they're still ministering. How do you do that? How do you face so great a burden and still be proactive for the gospel? Well, you do it through the Holy Spirit. You do it through the Holy Spirit. I like verse 39. "And when it was day, they did not recognize the land, but they noticed a bay with a beach on which they planned, if possible, to run the ship ashore." He woke up that morning without a single clue, really, as to how the day would go, just like me. And all he had was God for that day. And he had to believe himself, as though we need to believe as well, is that God is still for you, for us. God is, God still cares about you. God still has a plan for you that day. You know, I do deal in this job with people who are in deep, dark valleys. You know, where out of nowhere a viper comes along. Bang. And Satan looks at you as you get that letter from your doctor, as you get that bill. Satan looks at you and says, "Ha ha, go back to that church and start smiling now after this." He shook it off with no ill effect. Why? Because he relied on the Holy Spirit. He relied on God's answer for that moment. We need to hand over control to God in all areas. He went through stages. I was going to list them up there, but I don't want to do that. I'd rather just have that, I think, in the evening. Some nights, if we have loads of slides, it's easier in the morning when you get probably kind of less mature Christians. But I just want that to just focus on there, because God's speaking through the whole thing there. Because you may yourself think that you are the shipwreck. There are better pictures on the internet, but I don't use pictures that I haven't got permission to. You can get any picture of Paul in Malta, all these lovely paintings, but you don't have the permission to use them. So out of the ones I've got permission to use, that's the one there. God blesses the message a lot better if you keep the rules, I believe. That's just me. He went through five stages. Firstly, the shipwreck. The shipwreck was the thing, and we've all experienced shipwrecks, haven't we? When you know, bad things happen. Every one of us has experienced it when something bad's happened. We all have. I mean, in this room, we've had operations, money problems, you know, members of our family dying. We all have. You know, if there's one person in this room who hasn't had something bad happen in their life, then my goodness, you know, you must really be somebody special. And, you know, but the first thing is the shipwreck. And Romans 12:2 says, rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, and be constant in prayer. So if I was probably, you know, going on a long journey to the moon and not coming back and giving you some instructions or help, I'd say Romans 12, rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, and be constant in prayer. So there's hope there. There's always hope in the prison bars. God can change anything around. God can move all kinds of things. It's like the lady, I've mentioned this before, who I would love to find out who this is. It's a genuine... I seem to think it might have been David Manning who told me years ago, but he's probably forgot. But it is a genuine case, and I wish I remember the name of the lady. There was a lady who was preaching at some conference, and she had to get to Paris. I might have told you this once. This is brilliant. This will build your faith. And, you know, and she basically needed to get to somewhere in Paris for a really important reason. And she was at one of the London airports. I believe it's Heathrow Airport. It might not have been. And she prayed and prayed and prayed. And God says, go into the toilet. She said, no, I need to go up to the desk and get the new ticket or get it quicker. God says, go into the toilet. Now, I want to this week find out the facts about this because it happened. But I need to find out the name. She went into the toilet and God says, right, go outside. She walked out the toilet and she was in Charles de Gaulle Airport in Paris. Now, why did that happen to that lady? Very simply because the Holy Spirit looked at her and said, okay, you're a person who has problems. I'm redeemed you by my spirit, but you know, by the blood of the Lamb. You're a Christian and you've reached out to me. Now, God might never do that to me again. God might do something similar to Brian. God might do something similar to Mike. I don't know. I don't seek things like that. I don't seek the hand of God. I seek the face of God. But in that, the hand of God does great things. But in the middle of that, God can come right in and meet you. I'd have no doubt that Paul was praying on that ship. I mean, he actually said that to Caesar, we must go. He spoke to the governor of Judea and said, I've got to go to Caesar. Now, Caesar at this point, I think, was probably Nero. Nero was a 17-year-old psychopath. It was just never should be let near Rome. And there was a succession. There was Julius Caesar, who wasn't an actual emperor, because it was a republic then. It then became an empire, and there was Caesar Augustus, and there was Tiberius, then there was Caligula. Gaius Caligula wanted a statue of himself in the temple in Rome, in Jerusalem. Then there was Claudius, his uncle, who didn't speak very well. And then there was Nero, and Nero lasted 5 minutes, and they just couldn't stand him. They killed him. But he burnt Rome, set Rome on fire. And it was under Nero, I believe, that Peter was crucified upside down and that Paul himself was eventually beheaded. But it was under that. So he knew he was going to face that. I'm inspired by these great men and women who, even though the vipers are coming in left, right, and center, they say, my God is strong. And even though I'm waking up tomorrow morning, I've got to have that meeting with my bank manager or with this or with that or this family situation, my God is there. And not only is he there to help me, he's remarkably there to help me to be proactive for the gospel still. Isn't that incredible? Number two, they showed unusual kindness. When you follow the Spirit and when you turn around to God and when you repent and come back when you need to, God shows, you see, God always drops the unusual kindness in there. Unusual kindness. God drops the unusual kindness in there, doesn't he? Those of you may remember that you've been in hospital for different things or operations, and it was just a really nice group of, you know, Christian doctors or nurses. And God is, you know, God shows unusual kindness in there. Because the Spirit can do that. The Spirit can break through all kinds of things. You know, I'm not at all worried at all how the future is developing. You know, if in terms of, you know, God will give victory to his church. If we remain faithful to the word of God and to what the Spirit is saying to us, he will give us victory. You know, and, you know, it's just bizarre sometimes. We can look at it and think, oh, you know, what if this and what if that rule changes? It doesn't matter. We just stick straight to the gospel, stick true to it. God will help us. Unusual kindness. Unusual kindness. One of the words I was given by a friend of mine who was actually my best man, who at my wedding back in 1994, who was a Christian, still lives in Guernsey, but he came from Derby like me. At my leaving do in Guernsey, he said, whatever happens, is follow the wind. You know, and follow the wind, because the Spirit is there speaking to you right in the midst of it. Whatever happened, whatever you've done, whether it's a calamity of your making or somebody else's, follow the wind. Follow what God's saying. And then the third stage is that the viper comes in. So you've got this amazing calling from God. I'm going to go to Rome. I'm going to do this. The shipwreck happens. And you think, goodness gracious. See, at this point, he's on Malta. Now, you can't get from Malta to Rome without going over the sea. So he's thinking, okay, this ship's happened here. This shipwreck's happened here. How do I get to the next bit? He doesn't worry, even though the ship's wrecked. He's now walking up the beach at some point. Okay, so the shipwreck's gone. And he's walking up the beach. And I would have imagined that at that moment, before he gets to the next stage, he'll have sorted out in his head, okay, Lord, there's been a shipwreck. I didn't quite know it was going to happen, but it's happened. But at no point did an angel appear in the sky and said, look, the shipwreck's happened. This is proof that God doesn't exist and you're on your own and it's going to get worse. He didn't say that. What basically happened was quite simply this, that God was still there. Nancy, who used to be in this church, the African lady who moved to Wales, one of the last things she says before she went three years ago, she whispered to me, Pastor, she said, God is always speaking. Make sure we're always listening. Because then if we're always listening, we'll always have the answers that we need. Wow. Amazing. You know, lady, you should be preaching. You know, it's absolutely amazing. So he gets there, the shipwreck happens, and the next thing happens, the viper comes in. I like the word viper because it describes some things. See, a viper really, really means... About a year ago, we had a very precious person in this person, the person in this church passed away. Ian Puffett, in fact, it's literally two days, what is it now? About 4 days is the anniversary of his death. Now, that was quite an unusual time for us. A lot of people in the church were ill at that point. You were in hospital at that point. He was. Edith was still alive on this earth then and still ill. And we're all still ill. Then, I mean, it's a really weird thing. Our cat died as well. And something else happened, which most of you don't know about. But I'm going to tell you now, because it was a series of vipers. A man rang our house and said, oh, I've heard you're a church. I don't know who it was. And he says, oh, I need some money. This has happened and that's happened. I said, well, I can't really help you now. So you can't help us. He says, call yourself a church. He says, and it was like a day off. So can I ring you tomorrow? He says, I will ring back tomorrow. And he says, there'll be trouble if you don't sort of help me with some money. And I'm thinking, I could have gone to the police. But I was really worried about it at the time. And it was just a viper. It was a viper. Ian's awful situation was a viper. All these things were vipers. And I'm thinking, God, you are not going to stop me putting you first. And when the vipers come in, you know, you can just think, oh my gosh, what's God going to do now? What's going to happen right now? So in the end, I mean, we went away to Bristol and stayed in a hotel and came back and it was fine. Never heard the guy again. I prayed for him. God told me when I came back, you'd never hear him, this guy again. Gone. You know, and also the issue with Ian, you know, obviously, I mean, God brought us together and we learned a lot from it and it's horrible. But when the vipers come, God's not only saying, I will look after you. He's saying, I still want to use you like I've used Paul because you are still good. Because in our weakness, Christ is made strong. But he suffered no ill effect. You see, when we're following Jesus, when we're filled with his Holy Spirit, when we're trusting in him, when we're reading his word, when we're allowing his word and his spirit to guide us, we will suffer no ill effect and we can shape the viper off. They were waiting for him to swell up and suddenly fall down dead. But when they had waited a long time and saw no misfortune come to him, they changed their minds and said that it was a God. Evening, you've missed half the sermon. It's fine, don't worry. Good to see you. I'll give you a watch, right? Saw no misfortune come to him. They changed their minds and said that he was a God. So when bad things happen in our lives, people look at them and say, ah, look, you know, let's wait for his hands to swell up. If that person, they're in hospital, or what about, let's wait for their hands to swell up. Let's wait for something bad to happen in their lives. Let's see if this Jesus is really that important. Let's see if they're in 2-3 years' time or 10 years' time, they're still going to be following Jesus. But he suffered no ill effect. And that, to me, is something that God can enable us to do as followers of Jesus as well. And then the chief man received them. See, I believe that when you go through this process of trusting God, a process of repentance, because sometimes these things can be our fault, a process of humility, forgiveness, repentance, trusting God, believing that he's still got your best interests at heart, the chief man receives you. What I mean by that is God gives you favor. It's like Psalm 23, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. That's happened to me so many times, where God has vindicated me in the presence of non-Christians who have made fun of me. But the chief man received us. And the chief man received them and just came up and welcomed them. And God, I believe, can move things around to give you favor. It doesn't bother me what the government or what the world think of Christians. I am not bothered. I'm not in the least bit bothered one iota what the government think about gay marriage or anything else, or what Philip Schofield says on television. Doesn't bother me, doesn't faze me. What bothers me is that am I following what the Word of God says? Because if I'm following what the Word of God says and what the Spirit says to me and guides me and helps me with the Word of God, God will guide me through all those vipers, in and out of those vipers, this shipwreck, that shipwreck. Oh, Christians are this. Bye-bye, viper. See you. Shake it off. Suffer no ill effect because I've got the Word of God with me. And I've got the Spirit with me and I can wake up tomorrow morning and rejoice and everything else. And then God positions the soldiers around, moves them around. I've mentioned before, I believe, I'm not going to mention from the pulpit, but there's two famous singers who in the past pretended to be Christ and said that we're bigger than Jesus, and they were dead within years. And I think, when we step on that, when we do that, God doesn't like it. And I believe God moves these Nebuchadnezzars out of the way. Obviously, God, he repented, but God moves these people out of the way, and God brings Cyrus in to bring us to where he wants to be, just because he has a plan for us and he follows us. And then he heals. So the father of Publius lay sick with fever and dysentery, and Paul visited him and prayed, and putting his hands on him, healed him. And when he had taken place, the rest of the people on the island who had diseases all came and were cured. Not only did he heal one person, he was used for... So this is a man who... I mean, he didn't know where his next meal was coming from. He didn't know much about the future. You know, he's on the way to Rome, and he's been on this ship across the Eastern Mediterranean, and with these 200 to 300 people, and it's all gone wrong, and it's all bad, and all this that God, God planned this, and it's all gone wrong. And he's got no idea, and he's thinking of the church in Antioch, and he's thinking of the church in Jerusalem, and all these people when he's going across there, and he's saying, God, I trust you with all that. All these people that he misses, all these Timothys and these people that he just poured into their lives, he couldn't just go on the internet and see a picture and say, hello, how are you doing? Oh, I'm flying across next week. We couldn't do that. All he had was God. And God's kind of whispering, you just need me. And he's discovering more and more as he's stepping past another viper and another shipwreck, that actually, when God is all you have, you realize that God is indeed all you need. Mark 16:17-18 says, and these signs shall accompany those who believe. In my name they'll drive out demons, they'll speak in new tongues, they'll pick up snakes with their hands, and when they drink deadly poison, it won't hurt them at all. They'll place their hands on the sick and they shall recover. These signs will accompany all who believe. John 14:12 says, I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these, because I'm going to the Father. Other scriptures, Romans 8:18-19. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing to the glory that will be revealed in us. The creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. And it's this journey that we have got, this which is the silver lining on every cloud.
Don't just sit there in the prison. Don't just collapse there at the letterbox with the £2,000 tax bill that you've got because you made a mistake and ticked the wrong box on this. Don't just sit there in the family liaison room in the hospital having been given this room. Don't just sit there at the bank manager's or the MOT station or this or that. Yes, be honest about how you feel. Cry when you need to cry. You know, but just remember that you can go from the shipwreck up the beach, from the shipwreck to the Viper, to the next thing, because there's a next thing and the next thing. And God brings the next thing here. He is the God of the silver lining on every single cloud. And I just want to literally bring us into that. How can we then do what, how can we do what Paul did? I mean, I could, if I went up to Publius's father, would I have the courage or the faith to heal him? Well, maybe I would or maybe I wouldn't. It depends how I am on that day. But a few little things. Actually, Matthew 6:33 talks about seek ye first the kingdom of God. How about this? This is how to be proactive. And I'll leave this with you and we'll pray and then we'll have some communion. If you need healing, pray for someone else's healing. Oh, I've got a pain in my shoulder. Oh, but I know that Brian's got down the doctors today with a pain in his ear. He told me last week at church. So Lord, whatever you do with it, with that, that's fine. But Lord, I pray you'll heal Brian. If you're lonely, befriend someone. If you need encouragement, encourage somebody. If you need love and care for somebody else. If you're waiting for someone to ring you, ring somebody else. If you want to be first, be last so that somebody else can be first. If you want a better job, pray for somebody else to get one. Matthew 11 is the last scripture, 28-29. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, come to me, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Listen, Paul then went on. And the rest of the book of Acts is almost like a holiday brochure, because the first sort of 10 chapters, are, everything's happening. But this is like, Luke tends to go into details about what the scenery looks like, and they go into Italy, into Rome, and there's this place called the Three Taverns. And how can they talk about taverns 2,000 years ago? It's amazing how they just describe things. And he gets to the very end, and suddenly at the end of the book of Acts, bang! Can't work out if Luke died first or it's possible that Luke might have died first or Paul might have died first, depending how it happened. But the point is that whenever he faced Nero's henchmen, I would have imagined that he would have been, probably other things happened, and he said, God, I'm ready to go. And I think sometimes God takes the sting out of death. It's in there about 7-59, about where death is your sting, where death is your victory. But so what I want to say to you today is your story might be difficult, might be long, and might be hard, and so is mine. But I don't want that my Viper, I don't want to wear my Viper or my shipwreck as a badge. I want to wear Christ as my badge. You know, I could talk about my Vipers all the time. But Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the fact that you are with us. We don't know why the Vipers come sometime, but we know, Lord, that you and our constant walk with you is the silver lining on every cloud. And every one of us, Lord, can be open to your Spirit. And not only be lifted by you, but remarkably can be proactive for the gospel. And when those things go wrong in our life, Lord, we help us to realize that we are the only chance that the people of our street will ever get in human form to be led to you. And help us to be open to what you say in Jesus' name.